Jesus says that if anyone feeds someone, provides a drink, creates a home for them, clothes them, cares for them when they're unwell, visits them, they're doing this for me, he says. So, I mean, those that list of duties there is what a carer does. And so that's even noticed and recognized in the Bible. And Jesus says, when you do that, it's as if you're doing it for me. So it's a really precious thing.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds. I'm the head of national ministries for the FIEC. And I'm joined today by Lucy Honeysett. Hello, Lucy. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Just tell us who you are, first of all.
I'm Lucy.
Well, I know you're Lucy Honeysett. But
you got that bit, didn't you?
Who is Lucy Honeysett?
Lucy Honeysett I'm a nurse and I now lead a project called Christians in Care. And I go to an FIEC church in Farnham, and I'm married to Rich, and we've got two girls.
Great. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We're here today to talk about Christians in Care, not so much the organisation. We will come to that afterwards. But thinking about Christians who work, especially in the care industry, and how we as church leaders can support them. And I think this is a really important topic, a really undervalued segment of the working population. And obviously it's in the news a lot, isn't it, Lucy, because of the underfunding that's in the care industry generally, the council budgets that are under pressure, a lot of immigration questions and people coming across to work in the care industry. So just give us some facts and figures, first of all, Lucy. How many people in the UK do we think are paid to work in the... Well, what do we mean by the care industry? Let's start there. And how many people work in that industry?
So I think there's an estimated 1.52 million people who work in the adult care sector. So that's more than 5% of England's workforce. What do we mean by the care sector? I guess that's the provision of care either at home or within a care provider like a care home or a nursing home or a care centre. A large proportion of our society work in care, and a huge number receive care, and we're expected to see those numbers rise.
Because of the rising average age of the population, I guess.
We do well at treating people, and people are living longer. And as you live longer, along comes different health needs, different care needs. And there's a huge aging population now, and then we expect to see that rise in the next two decades, really.
Right. And my gut feel, you can put me right if I'm not right about this. My gut feel is it's generally low paid work. Is that right?
Yeah, sadly it is. Yeah. So it's quite low paid. I think in my experience, as I'm connecting with carers now, many of them do extra shifts to try and make ends meet, especially with the cost of living rise. And also carers, to be honest with you, just go above and beyond the call of duty. So even if they're not paid to do those extra bits, their heart is in it, and therefore they'll go the extra mile if it means someone having their needs met and feeling more comfortable and loved as a result.
And do you think undervalued by society as a whole? I just think about the way... way over COVID, especially the NHS, which is always dearly loved, of course, rose in the national esteem. But the government has failed to come up with a social care plan, even though they keep talking about that. And it just feels like it's the younger brother that's never quite, or the younger sister that's never quite looked after, funded, appreciated. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it feels fair to me. I think. Throughout COVID, and I was nursing during COVID, we got a clap, and we appreciated that. We really appreciated the recognition and the real love for the NHS and those healthcare professionals. But I think, again, as I meet more carers now, they're just longing to be noticed themselves, because actually the work they do day in and day out are keeping our society going. They're caring for the most vulnerable in society. And I guess culturally in this country, we aren't always in a position to do that for our own loved ones. And so there is a demand on others providing that care for people. It is undervalued, underfunded. But that's a problem across health and social care at the moment.
Yeah. Now, we're here to talk especially about caring for people who are paid to work in the care industry. It's just worth acknowledging, though, that lots and lots of people are carers, aren't they? And we'll have lots of people in our churches who are caring perhaps for a spouse or a sibling or elderly parents and doing much of the same work, actually, but unpaid. So some of the same issues will be applicable to them, I guess, as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I haven't got statistics in front of me, but we know that there'd be millions of unpaid informal carers. I guess some of whom wouldn't even see themselves as that. They're just being a daughter or a son or a husband or a wife, and they're just loving and looking after the people that need it within their family or their friendships. And yeah, as we speak about the need to encourage and inspire paid carers, I think you're absolutely right to say we extend that. Whilst Christians in Care is for paid carers, a network for paid carers, there's support out there as well for informal and unpaid carers through charities such as Embracing Age and others who do that good work too.
So chances are, if you're listening to this as a leader, you've got people in your church, well, whatever size church you are, actually, you've got people in your church definitely who are carers. You've probably got people in your church who are working as paid workers in the care sector as well. Yeah. So this is a really important topic. We're thinking about how we as church leaders care for such people, how we encourage them and nurture them with the particular challenges they face. Just before we get to the challenges, though, let's just reflect on this a little bit more, Lucy. It's a natural industry for Christians to serve in, isn't it? It seems to me so many of the qualities that the Spirit gives us as Spirit-filled believers are really wonderful qualities that would shine in the care industry. Is that right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. In Matthew 25, actually, Jesus almost describes the work of a carer when he says, Jesus says, if anyone feeds someone, provides a drink, creates a home for them, clothes them, cares for them when they're unwell, visits them, they're doing this for me, he says. So, that list of duties there is what a carer does. And so that's even noticed and recognized in the Bible. And Jesus says, when you do that, it's as if you're doing it for me. So it's a really precious thing to do. And it is almost that natural love your neighbor as yourself in action, isn't it? Noticing and caring for vulnerable people in society for whom God has a real heart for.
And we've got a better story at the moment, haven't we? There's lots of talk in the press about assisted dying and whether that might become law. It seems to me that most of the major parties seem to be, but progressing with that. So I guess, practically, inevitably, at some stage, that's going to come into law. We've got a better story, haven't we? You've worked in palliative care, I think. It's your speciality. So actually, at that point, especially in the caring journey, we've got a better story, haven't we? To not only tell people, but actually to work into, to act into.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the Bible tells us that we're made in God's image and we are precious to him. And I think we have a duty as Christians to really step out and make sure people feel like they are precious and they are made in God's image and they are of great value. And that as a society, we don't want to rid ourselves of people who have an increased need, increasing health problem or increasing dependence. We value them. They are precious. What's happening to them isn't by accident. Something beautiful can come of it. And so many carers walk that journey, and nurses, hospice nurses, all sorts of different professionals will walk a journey with people as they are entering their dying phase. And we have a beautiful opportunity in that to make sure that individual knows that they are really deeply precious. Whether we get a gospel opportunity or not, we can still convey God's great love for that person. And that's what assisted dying, a lot of that movement is about, saying like, where's the value in someone? We need to place value on people, and we've got a job to do there, I think.
Well, amen to all of that. I absolutely agree with all of that. Now, I'm very struck reading just recently John chapter 10, as we prepare for our leaders' conference in November, one of the passages that's going to be preached, how the good shepherd knows the sheep and they know him. And the great comfort, really, of being known by the shepherd, those of us who are called to pastoral ministry, I think one of the ways we exercise our ministry is by making sure we know the sheep. We're following in the master's footsteps when we do that. We need to know the pressures people are under. I was going to say Monday to Friday, thinking about the working week, but of course for carers, it's often not that, is it? We'll come on to that in a moment, perhaps. So speak to me as a leader of a church, Lucy. Assume I know nothing, which is not far from the truth. If I need to help, to love, to care for carers in the church, what are some of the challenges that someone who's working in the paid care industry is facing at the moment? We've obviously touched on the assisted dying climate that's behind everything, but more generally, what are some of the challenges of working in that industry?
Well, I think as you've just said, it may not be a carer receiving that message in the church pew or seat because they might be working that shift. So it's that recognition. And I remember it when I was working shifts all of the time, working every other weekend, doing a combination of late and early shifts and long days. I wouldn't be able to connect to my home group. I wouldn't be able to regularly attend churches and get the drift of sermon themes and so on. So I think it's noticing shift workers, obviously.
You're sort of dipping in and out, really, effectively, because of your work.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And shift work is really tiring. We know it has a great impact on health and well-being, but it's a necessity because the people we look after have a need 24/7. So the people that care for them also need to work 24/7. So I guess, who am I to advise a church leader? But I guess it would just be noticing.
Well, no, you are. I think you are. You're a professional.
Well,
I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, if they're not in church, it's probably either they are working or they're exhausted from working, perhaps. Yeah. And I think likewise for an informal carer, you know, that job doesn't stop. So it's noticing them, loving them well, caring for them, not an expectation to serve. I remember someone saying, you know, that it feels really daunting to think that you need to serve in church when you've given your heart and soul in your work. And I think that that's how it can leave some health and social care professionals feeling, is that, you know, our ministry, our work is where we know God's placed us there. And that really is our ministry. And so it might be that when we come to church, there's not a lot left in the tank. But it's a blessing to come together. And I guess, you know, partly that's why we have Christians in Care, although we certainly don't want to replace the local church. We know its value, but we also recognize that not everybody can connect with their local church. Mm. And a live-in carer, for example, may work 7 weeks pretty much on the trot.
So tell us a little bit more about that, because perhaps that's a world that we don't really understand. We're not just talking, say, you know, as many of us might understand shift work and maybe think about it, you know, a nurse or a doctor working shifts in hospital. But we're talking about something beyond that. We're not only talking about, as you were indicating earlier, that care workers working extra shifts over and above because of low pay, but actually taking jobs which essentially are live-in carers.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it literally is a 24-hour job at that point, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you about Alma, who was one of the first carers that connected with us at Christians in Care. And I remember us praying back in May of last year, Lord, can we be of encouragement to a Christian live-in carer who has no other source of Christian support, and for whom actually we had no idea how we would reach them, because they're not going to be connected to a church, they're not going to read, you know, Christian literature or magazines or anything like that. And Alma is a Christian. She lives in Croatia with her husband and family. And for between usually 6 or 7 weeks in a row, she'll come across to the UK and care for a gentleman for a 6-week block, and then return to Croatia for a 6-week block. So while she's here in the UK, she's disconnected from her church, her husband, her children, her whole sort of support network. And she is under someone else's roof, with all that brings, you know, all of the all of his values, all of his ways of doing life and his beliefs and so on. And so she's really needing to try and stand firm as a believer. And she just Googled, what about, is there something like Christians in Care? She found me, us, and we've been able to meet together virtually while she crouches down on the kitchen floor while her client is you know, having a nap or whatever. She gets a little break then, and we can pray together, and I can encourage her from God's word and just ensure that she's noticed and not left alone in this truly intense way of working. There's such a thing as live-in carers, which is blows my mind. That is a job and a half. That is a really intense work, but she is joy-filled and hope-filled, and she knows she's placed by God, and she prays for this gentleman, and she feels like God has placed her in his life for his purpose. So
it is incredible. This kind of work is a vocation, isn't it? We need to, you know, it's not just a job. No. Especially if people are doing low paid jobs, it is because that they love the work, they feel called to it, God has equipped them for it, and we need to recognize that as churches, don't we?
Yeah, Yeah, I think so. I guess if I'm honest, I came into this role thinking I would be supporting carers who are tired and exhausted and maybe a bit burnt out from COVID. And of course, we'll see some of that some of the time. That's natural and normal because it is a tough role. And those who love deeply will hurt deeply. And we do what we can to support one another through those harder times. But I am blown away by how hope-filled and joyful this group of people, these Christian carers, are. They, as you say, they're on fire. They're on mission for Christ. They know that they are living out Christian compassion and concern. They are rooted in the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us to value people because we're made in God's image, and each person's precious. And they're doing it wholeheartedly, and it is amazing. It's definitely a calling, I think, a vocation, as you say.
I guess most of us, and I would include myself amongst this, would understand caring to be physically demanding, emotionally demanding too. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the carers that I'm supporting now are looking after people with learning disabilities, with mental health problems, people in later life, people at the end of life. I think often the model of care now, and I'm employed by Pilgrim Friends Society, and within Pilgrim Friends Society, the people that live within the home are called family members. They're not called residents anymore, or clients, or service users. They're called family members because that's the kind of depth of relationship and connection we want to foster. We want carers to feel like they are connected on a deeper level than just carer and client, and also to respect that we can gain so much from people that we're looking after. It's not a one way, it's not one transaction one way. It's we're nourished, we're enriched by supporting and caring for these people as well. Because we have that depth of concern, compassion, care, sometimes love for people, when they die, when they become unwell, when they deteriorate, that it has a massive impact. So, yeah, I think, and part of my role is also, I think I feel very passionate, especially, I guess, with my hospice nursing background, is that we make sure we make space to pause and reflect and not just soldier on and think, actually, I've just got to be kind and compassionate and go about this in my own strength. We need renewal from the Lord. We need his topping up. We need his help in this. We need his healing, as we are sometimes feeling very bruised and broken ourselves. And we need to make space for that.
That's good to be reminded about that. I guess what I'm hearing from you, Lucy, and this is helpful for me, is let's say when I'm preaching a sermon on a Sunday, I need to be thinking about not just those who are in front of me, but those who are not there. Or for different reasons, actually. I need to be, obviously, and many, many preachers would be thinking about those who choose not to be there and being worried for them. But actually, there's a group of people, including here carers, who would love to be there but can't because of work commitments, because of exhaustion. And I'm preaching and serving them as much as I'm serving the people in front of me. And I guess things like recorded sermons and services, they help to a certain extent, but they're not a substitute, are they?
No, it's not the same, is it, as being in church with brothers and sisters in Christ and hearing from one another and building each other up. But it's great, isn't it? It is great that we can catch up that way, and it's great that church isn't about Sunday. Church is, infiltrates our week and our whole lives. So there are always opportunities, I think, during the week as well, aren't there, to meet up with brothers and sisters. And there's loads of it. That's, again, partly why we've created Christians in Care, so that there's WhatsApp communities, virtual communities that we can encourage one another. And I'm actually, carers telling me that they listen to Christian radio, and just the fact that you're going from, if you're doing home visits, for example, you get back in the car, you turn the radio on, and you're reminded of your identity in Christ. You're reminded of gospel truths, and it just picks you up and empowers you before that next visit. And people tell me like they have a word for that moment, and I think it's because God cares deeply for you. You're not being asked to go about this on your own. He's doing the equipping, and the more we are in Christ, the more likely we are to be Christ-like and able to care in the way that he'd like us to.
Yeah. Well, what about, let's talk a little bit about evangelism for carers. I guess it's possible for us as leaders to place, perhaps without realising it, a large burden on people, perhaps especially those who are working in, as you have, in palliative care or in hospices. You think that these are the moments where, you know, every moment's got to be an evangelistic moment. And you just hinted earlier on about, you know, loving people with actions and that sort of thing. How can we encourage people who are working in the care industry and their personal evangelism? We've got to be careful, haven't we, and wise. So what does evangelism, help us understand as leaders of churches, what does a good witness look like in those sorts of circumstances?
Well, I think, I don't know who it was that said, preach the gospel at all times and use words if necessary. I don't know who said that, but it was quite a good thing to say.
Well, lots of people have laid claim to it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't me. I didn't ever say it, but I quite like it. And I think it kind of helps me think carefully about, for carers, and as I'm trying to support and encourage carers to live and speak for Jesus, I've had to kind of really think carefully about that myself. Because what does that actually mean? What does that look like? I think I've landed on feeling like, first and foremost, we're called to do a job, and that is to care for people. We're not called to be an evangelist. So, and I think you've touched on, and we've talked already about the fact that the people we're caring for are vulnerable by nature because they're dependent on us for, you know, their personal care. We do that in ways that we want to restore and uphold their dignity, but it's hard. They are vulnerable on so many different levels. So our duty is to look after them well, and that's the bit that we've been called to do. But I do think that the way we do that can convey incredible truth from the gospel. I think we can, the way that we care, for example, the words that we use, the tone of our voice, the way we choose to touch someone, the way we choose to ensure that they are left feeling precious and important and recognized and not somebody that we do something to. All of that can sometimes be a bit countercultural. So we don't see that happening all the time around us, which is really distressing to see. But as Christians, we can certainly strive to ensure that the way we care can convey God's deep love for that person. And I think as well, we can be very prayerful, and God is incredibly mighty and powerful and can use us in remarkable and humble ways. So I'm encouraging carers to just be prayerful, because God loves the person we're looking after even more than we do. And if we're feeling like that person is coming towards the end of their life and we're not certain where they stand before the Lord, well, God's in this. God's heart is for them. He came to seek and save the lost, and he loves the world. So it's not as if what we're doing isn't aligned with God's great plan. It is totally aligned. And if he'll use us, and if he'll open doors and open opportunities for us to do more than just care well, which in itself is very powerful and conveys a deep message in itself, but if we can say more, then that's amazing too. And I hear incredible stories.
You've just described 1 Peter, really, haven't you? That, you know, actually in 1 Peter, which feels like that's the world we're living in today. Whether you're a worker, whether you're relating to government, in married to an unbeliever, all those kinds of things that come up in 1 Peter, actually, it's how you live. That's the first thing to get right in the power of the Spirit, isn't it? To live a godly life. Live such good lives among the pagans, to use that verse from 1 Peter. And then actually, we believe people will want to ask questions, actually. You know, always be ready to give a reason for the hope you have. The implication there, it seems to me, that as you live for Christ in the world, people will see a difference, won't they? They'll notice that you do things with a kindness and a compassion and a care. You don't lose your temper and so on. But actually, the Spirit does produce fruit in us, and people, I think, will notice that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit more, Lucy, about how we can, in church, cast a vision for caring as a noble calling. I'm thinking here a little bit, and I guess I'm sort of opening up my heart a little bit. I think not only does society undervalue carers, but I think we probably do too. We have this slightly hierarchical view of life, which is countercultural to the Bible, of course, but it is deeply rooted, I think. That somehow, you know, a doctor is better than a nurse, a consultant is better than a doctor, and, you know, this sort of hierarchy of professions, which is just a nonsense, of course, when we read the Bible. And probably, you know, if we're honest with our hearts deep down, we put carers right at the bottom. You know, actually, if you can't do anything else, or if, you know, if you're looking for a job in between other jobs, and we've got to be better than that, haven't we? We've got to cast this as a noble profession for people to go into and to stay in. How do we do that as leaders, do you think? What tips can you give us as leaders?
I mean, I think as you said that now, I guess I can't help but think of my time sort of doing youth work and so on, and drawing up prayer timetables as young people are doing their A-levels or whatever. And there is quite a big focus, I guess, it feels, on GCSEs, A-levels, university.
They are idols of the age, I think, aren't they, in some ways? Yeah. Let's call them what they are. Go on, let's call them what they are.
Well, I'll let you call them what you are. I'm not going
to. Yeah, don't write to Lucy, write to me.
Yeah, okay. Don't write to me about this, all right? But you just think, actually, Laura, what if you don't fit in that box? How does that leave you feeling in a church? How does it feel if you've not got a university degree, or if you've, you know, if school and academic study isn't your thing, and even if it is, and yet you choose, you know, what if you are that, and yet you have chosen to do a job that actually, as we said at the very beginning, is even mentioned, that kind of caring quality, the work of the carer is mentioned by Jesus himself in Gospel according to Matthew. So like, what if we were to see that, and how would we, as you say, how do you respond to that? I hope we encourage people. I hope we admire people. I hope we celebrate the fact that people are willing to not choose the highest paid, most recognised jobs, and instead convey God's heart for vulnerable people in our society. And I think if every church, I mean, a church is placed in a community, and if every church was doing that, communities could be transformed, couldn't they? We know that there are many vulnerable people in our society. We know that the strain on health and social care sector is increasing. I don't have any big clever answers to any of that, but you sort of think that the Bible has answers. We know that we're called to love, we're called to convey deep kindness and respect and compassion to people. They're made in God's image, they're precious to him, and we all do that, which many churches do. You know, loads of churches do senior citizens lunches and, you know, cafes and all the things that actually bring a community in and make sure that loneliness is tackled and all the things that are happening. So that is great. And I guess we can just do more and encourage more people.
Wouldn't it be great if we got to the place where, you know, you have a missionary come and visit the church, and Young Jimmy in his early 20s says at the end of it, I was really moved by that. I want to think about being a missionary. The whole church rejoices and gets behind it. And that's wonderful. Of course, we need that. But wouldn't it be great if we got to the same place where someone said, you know, I've just done I've been working a few months in a care home somewhere, and I've really been moved by how important the work it is. Wouldn't it be great at that point if the church got round and said, that's brilliant news, let's get behind that? Yeah. Rather than, I guess, most churches, maybe this is a caricature, but most churches saying, well, how long is that going to last for before you get another job? Or, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could really get behind that and say, that's an honourable calling, that's something that's well worth doing? I'd love that to be the case. I'd just tell you this quick story, Lucy. I heard of a church the other day who they've just built a new building, in fact. And the pastor was telling me about the new building. He said, look, there's this big house next door. And I think next stage is we'd love to buy that big house next door and turn that into a Christian care home. That could be a real, really great way of serving the community. And I just thought that was a great vision for an idea for a church, that actually, you know, we're pouring all our resources into youth work, whatever it may be. And that's a good thing to resource, of course. But there's a real opportunity here, isn't there, to serve communities as churches. Perhaps churches should be thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that different charity, Pilgrim Friends Society, Embracing Age, other charities, Faith in Later Life, we're trying to think, actually, for most churches, there will be a big care home or nursing home in a very close proximity to that church. And for all of the people in that care home and nursing home, they are most likely to remain there until the end of their life. They're not ever going to come to your Christmas service or your harvest or your outreach service at Easter, but it's full of people who are heading for eternity and for some heading there fast. So as you say, for the Jimmy or whoever he was that's gone to work in a care home.
Yes, I've forgotten his name already.
His name was, which is awful, but he's valuable. But he's on the mission field, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's,
that's right.
And as you say, it's not that's necessarily right. The way we as churches think of our outreach. We think of it among children and, you know, which is all great. Of course it is. But yeah, I've been challenged as well to think, well, what about the care homes that are on our doorstep that are full of people that may not yet know the hope of Jesus.
Yeah. Now, tell us, Christians in Care, very briefly to finish, it's at the moment part of the ministry of Pilgrim Friends. Lots of us will know about Pilgrim Friends, of course, and the great work that they do. This is something that's kind of come out of that. So you're trying to connect together and be a support to Christians working in the care industry. Have I got that right?
You've got that spot on. Yeah, so doing what we can to encourage and inspire Christians who work across the whole of the care sector. So not just those caring for the people towards the end or later life, people in adults with learning disabilities, mental health conditions, community cafes, you know, whoever really who works in the care sector, we would long for you to come and connect with us. And we provide virtual support through WhatsApp groups and Zoom, monthly Zoom meetings. We aim to resource as well, help you in your faith and in your work. And we long for one day to meet face to face as well. So to have some regional meetups too.
Great. Well, Lucy, it's a great work in sort of startup phase, I guess, at the moment. We'll put the link in the show notes. You can perhaps pass a link on to people you know in your church who work in the care industry. That would be a really good thing to do. Lots of other things we could have talked about. We haven't really touched on the kind of the issues with immigration and how so many people who are coming to the country are working in the care industry. And actually, there's a kind of element of that which could even be human trafficking, I guess, at some level, some very deep issues, aren't there, to resolve. But what a great thing that Christians are working in this industry and serving the Lord in that way. Lucy, thanks so much for your time. I've really learned a lot chatting to you. And I'm to thinking about one person in our own congregation, just thinking about how we can support her and do a better job at doing that. So it's been a real help to me. Thank you. I hope it's been a real help to others. Thanks so much for joining us, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Great. Well, this has been Independence, the FIZ podcast. If you've enjoyed being with us, please do rate and review, because it helps other people find the podcast. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. Thanks very much.